Good morning, church. Very happy that we can gather here in the name of our Lord to worship together as one body in Christ. So this morning, we're still meeting here, but hopefully very soon that we can all come back to church as the church actually slowly opens for small groups. I know that most of the groups prefer to meet outside in the park somewhere. But the church it is open, so we'll slowly maybe we can have some meeting here. We have guidelines all set up, safety guidelines, following the WorkSafe BC and the health authorities. So we try to make it as safe, as responsible as we can. So this morning I want to start off by telling a story. So four men, brothers and they're good friends. So they decided to go for camping, as now they cannot go for a cruise, there's still restrictions. So they decided to go for camping together. So four of them went to a really nice open area far away from the city and decided to camp there for a few days. So at night, four of them, they share same tent, and they went to sleep in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock or so, and they feel a bit cold, so they look up, and then they ask one of them, and he happened to study astronomy in school. So we asked him, what do you see, Daniel? What do you see up in the sky there? Well, because he is specialized in astronomy, so he can name most of the stars in the sky. So Sirius, Vega, Arcturus, Capella, and then. So it was really exciting. Everybody is learning a lot, from all the names of the stars. And then they asked the next guy, what do you see? And then the next guy, he's a meteorologist. Then he tell people that, if I'm looking at the sky, I can tell that tomorrow will be a sunny day. It will be warm, and then it will be maybe a little bit cloudy on the east side, but overall, tomorrow will be a nice day. And then he asked the third person, Norman, what do you think? And he is a pastor. So obviously, you take this opportunity to start telling people that God's great creation, God is upholding everything, and start preaching a bit, give a little gospel message, and how wonderful God is. He controls, created and controls, upholds the universe. And then they come to ask the last guy, he's not a scientist or theologian or anything. So he asked, what do you see from the sky? And then he said, I don't know. All I know is that someone has stolen our tent. That's why we feel so cold. It's obviously a story, a joke. But it tells us that sometimes we look at, we get distracted. Look at the other fascinating things, interesting things, and sometimes we lost our focus on the most important things, the tent. Someone stole our tent. And we need to, from time to time, to adjust our focus, to refocus once again on what's important in our life and what is the purpose of our life and what's God's will in our life. Today we are looking at Gospel of John chapter 4 from verse 31, but actually we'll be looking at the few verses before that. And when we look at John chapter 4, and we find that it's kind of a bit strange because the disciples, they went away to buy food. And if you look at the few verses before verse 31. And that is the famous story, the recording of Jesus witnessing, talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is a very famous incident, that how Jesus used these circumstances to bring the truth to the Samaritan woman. So we're all familiar with that story. And verse 31 is actually a continuation of that. And as the disciples came back with the food, while Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, and the disciples went away to buy food, so they came back. So they asked Jesus, well, because they're probably hungry, but it's noontime, and I don't know how long, but they probably, it will take a while. It's not like there's a McDonald's or church chicken close by. Probably it took them some time to go away and come back to get the food. So probably everybody is hungry. So the disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, teacher, eat, right? If Jesus doesn't eat, the disciples cannot eat. So they want the teacher to start eating the food first, right? And then Jesus said, I have food to eat that you do not know. So disciples was puzzled. Did someone give him food? I mean, otherwise we don't have to go walk such a long distance into the town to buy food. So who gave him food? And Jesus said that I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now, isn't this kind of a bit strange, right? And the disciples, all they were asking Jesus to eat. It's lunchtime, right? And then Jesus seems to be talking about totally something else. That it's just so puzzling to the disciples. They must be scratching our head. Just asking you to eat lunch. And then you said that you have something to eat. And then we asked who brought you the food? What did you eat? And then you said, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. His answer is so strange. And all the disciples was asking just to eat. And sometimes, can you imagine on Sundays, if you come and ask me, Pastor Norman, to go out for dim sum, and most people know that Sunday afternoon, I don't, usually, it's very seldom that Cynthia and I will go out and eat. So when people ask me to go to dim sum or go to for noodles, and usually I would say that I will stay at church because I want to spend time with the people. And usually during lunchtime, I will join meetings or I will bring some light lunch and then eat with members at church. So I don't go out. That's the reason I don't go out on Sunday afternoon. I want to make use of the time to be with, serve the people. And you just imagine, though, so when you come to Pastor Norman, said, no, Pastor Norman, can we go out for dim sum after worship? And then Pastor Norman said that I already have something to eat. And then you said, no, what is there for you to eat? Well, I'm going to eat all these gospel tracts. I'm going to eat my sermons. No, I'm going to eat my testimony sharings. And then I'm sure you'll be pulling your hair and stretching your head. What's going on? What is something? Is Pastor Norman overwork? How come it's so strange? It is strange, isn't it? The disciples come and ask Jesus just to eat lunch. And then he's talking about totally something else. Right? And this is not the first time. Jesus always seems to be doing that, isn't it? To the disciples, even to the listeners, to the followers. Just a few verses before this, this Samaritan woman was asking him, or he was asking the woman for water to drink. And then Jesus said that, I have this holy water. This water, once you drink it, you will never feel thirsty again. What a strange answer. So even the Samaritan woman was probably puzzled. And then said, oh, I want to drink that water. Then so that I don't have to drink again, so that I will not be thirsty again. So Jesus always seems to be giving you some strange answers. And verse 35. And then Jesus moved on and said that, look up, lift your eyes and look at the field. The disciples, look up. It's time for harvest. What? There's nothing there, right? Still 4 more months to go before it's harvest time. And it's probably December, you know, when Jesus was saying this, because the harvest time over there is probably in April, May. So 4 more months, so this is roughly December. So can you imagine in January, in the beginning of the year, and then your fellowship trying to organize a program, and then you say that, let's go and pick strawberries in Surrey. And it's January. Someone will say that, are you nuts? No. There's nothing, no strawberries to pick in January. So Jesus always seems to be giving strange answers. Nicodemus, an educated man, educated religious leader, came to see Jesus and trying to ask him about the meaning of life. And then Jesus talking about totally something else, about giving birth to baby, about being born again. I mean, Nicodemus just scratched his head. Why is it Jesus always seems to be answering something that's so strange that people do not understand? It doesn't seem to be responding to the question. Because Jesus wants us to refocus. Jesus wants to use your questions to give you an answer, to bring the disciples back to the focus. Just like when you look at the sky, sometimes you look at the sky too long. You look at the stars in the skies for too long. You look at the moons, and then you forget it. The tent that was close to us, the tent was stolen. Disciples were concerned about food. Samaritan woman was concerned about water. There's nothing wrong with eating, drinking. It is Jesus demonstrated to us again. He feed the 5,000. He will turn the water into wine. He eat and drink with people. So there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus wants us to turn that focus to something more important, more urgent. When the disciples talk about food, Jesus wanted them to remind there's something higher, more important to do the will of God. When the Samaritan woman talk about drinking water, Jesus wants her to know that there's the living water that's even more important, that can give you eternal life, not just to quench your temper, your thirsty. Jesus always wants to use something that we think is important, to refocus onto something that's even higher, more spiritual, more important, more critical. The disciples asking him to eat lunch. I'm sure Jesus will eat that later on. He is just like us. He will get hungry as well. But at that moment, Jesus wants to remind the disciples, to him, there's something more important than eating. Even though at lunchtime, eating lunch is the most important thing. Jesus reminded the followers, the disciples, that there's something important. is to for Jesus is to do the will of the one who sent him. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For Jesus, this is the focus of his mission. The focus of his life on earth is to do the will of God, which is to bring everyone to have eternal life, to bring everyone into him, to believe in him, so that they will be raised at the last day. So for Jesus, his vision, his focus is all nailed on one thing, is to let as many people as possible to know the salvation, the eternal life. Just like those four guys camping, the most important is to make sure that no one steal the tent. What is the focus in our life? Well, Jesus is very clear. His mission, focus, is to bring this good news to as many people, to everyone who's willing to listen. And what is the mission of our church today? We always try to think of what is a good mission statement for the church. To me, it's very simple. Jesus' mission statement should be the church's mission statement. Jesus gave us the Great Commission to bring the gospel to all the people, all nations, to the end of the world. That's Jesus' mission statement that he has given to us 2,000 years ago. And that should be our mission statement. And thank the Lord. 5 years ago, our church, we decided to have a new mission statement. The whole church spent weeks and weeks together, and then we came up with our mission statement, which is exactly what Jesus' mission is: unify in Christ for the mission of God. Unify in Christ to live out the mission of God. Steve Moore said, "The Great Commission is too big for anyone to accomplish alone, and too important not to try to do together." So our mission statement is exactly fulfilling this. We unify together so that we can live out, we can serve, we can complete this mission of God, the Great Commission. But very often, we get distracted. Each one of us, God has given us a mission, a purpose. Each one of us will be different. For me, is to serve the church full time. But for others, I'm able to serve him in the marketplace, to serve him in the children ministry. Some may be called into theological training to be a teacher. So each one of us, we have a different calling. But as a church, we have a mission. We have a calling. The church has a focus we should stay on. We have to stay on our focus is to fulfill Jesus' Great Commission. But very often we get distracted. We get occupied with drinking, eating, working, or even doing church ministries. Very often we get distracted. Hamsters are interesting little animal. When we were young, we have a hamster at home. Hamsters are colorblind, and they cannot see too far away. So you put them in a cage on a little wheel. They will be running all day long, and they're good runners. And some estimate that a hamster can each day run 6 miles. It's a lot of distance. It's more than what I walk each day. I need to walk more. You can run around for 6 miles one night on a wheel. But after the 6 miles, no, the hamster did not know that he's still in the same place, running around. And sometimes we are like that. We are very busy with life. We're running around, working, eating, drinking, sleeping, going to church, playing, and then we repeat this day after day, week after week, like a hamster running on a wheel. And we sometimes lose focus. We forget. We forget what is God's will in our life. I do not know what God's will in your life, what God has planned for you. I do not know. You need to sometimes maybe slow down. We focus and look at, don't just look at the stars. Sometimes you may look at, has your tent been stolen? We as the church, we have to be careful as well. Especially we are a busy church. We have lots of programs. And sometimes let us not lose the focus on our vision, our mission. Our mission is Jesus' mission, is to bring the gospel to the end of the world. And we have to be careful not to lose that focus. And sometimes we got distracted. Or sometimes it's not that we lost our focus. It's just sometimes that our mission doesn't seem to be that relevant to us, to what we are doing. We need to have this sense of urgency. From verse 35 on, why Jesus wants to remind the disciples, why sometimes we lose the focus on our mission, even as a church, we do from time to time lose our focus. We lose our focus because we do not feel the urgency, how urgent we are to complete our mission. We always think that there's more time, we need more planning, more equipping. We lost that urgency. Verse 35, do you not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. So obviously, the disciples did not understand. They said, what are you talking about? How can you say that the harvest, they are white? No, there's nothing. The field is white, ready for harvest. There's four more months. Still lots of time, half a year almost. And I mean sometimes like that as well. It's more time. We don't have that urgency. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Who has labored? Who has sowed the seeds? There are different interpretations of this. Some refer to maybe, obviously, Jesus here talking about the harvest is ready. He's talking about the Samaritans. Because as Jesus was speaking to the disciples, the Samaritans are coming because the woman went back to their city, to the town, and tell people about how great this person is. This must be the Messiah that she met. So all the people now are coming to the well to look for Jesus. So Jesus is pointing to these Samaritans who are coming, that they are ready. The harvest is ready. They're ready to accept the good news. They're ready to be accepted into the kingdom of God, to be the people of God. They are ready to receive this eternal life. But who has sowed this? So there are different interpretations. Some may say it's Jesus, because Jesus sowed the seed in the Samaritan woman. Or some said it's even before that, John the Baptist, because he is already preparing people's hearts for the gospel. But most scholars believe
Here Jesus is referring to the prophets in the Old Testament, because the gospel, this salvation, has been prepared long time ago, even from the days of the prophets in the Old Testament. So God has already prepared the way for the salvation to come. And then Jesus said, here comes the Samaritans. They're ready to accept the truth. So when we continue to read to verse 39, and then we will realize that a lot of these Samaritans, they came, they listened to Jesus, and then they believe. A lot of them believe. So Jesus said that they are ready to receive the salvation, because a lot of people has already done the preparation work. You cannot wait, but the disciples probably took them a while to understand what's going on. In the church, we always plan a lot of programs, and sometimes the programs distracted us. Sometimes we want to prepare the best program. Sometimes we delay. The church has two alphas programs, alpha course each year. But very often we say that we'll wait next one. We'll invite my uncle, my auntie, my friend, my colleague to come to the next alpha or the next alpha. He's not ready. They're not ready. I'm going to invite someone to church maybe next year. But now the church is shut down. No, we don't have alpha now. Very often we delay, we procrastinate. In Greek, there are two words for time. One is chronos, chronos. Chronos means is time, chronological, sequential time. And there's another Greek word for time is kairos. There is a mission course called the Kairos course. Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. While chronos is quantitative, kairos have a different meaning. It means opportunity. Opportunity for action. Chronos is quantitative of time, and kairos has a qualitative nature of the time. It's the opportunity. Kairos is the opportunity. There's never enough time for preparation. Sometimes we lose the church, even we lose the focus. We focus on administration, on this program, that program. They're all good. Don't get me wrong. They're all good. We need all this program. We need discipleship training. We need Sunday school. We need fellowship. We need all this. We need children program. We need summer camp. We need all the programs, but sometimes we lost our focus in all these programs. Just like when we look at, we have all these beautiful stars in the sky, sometimes we lost the focus that the tent is missing. We need to have this urgency to fulfill this mission of bringing the gospel to others. Many years ago, there was a church event. I forgot what event that was, probably a Christmas event. It's at night, the whole church was packed with people. There was even dessert served in the basement. So someone introduced this young chap to me, a young man, about mid-20, and said that this is Norman, he's my friend, first time to church, to any church. He really liked tonight's program, and he wanted to know more. I said, that's great, and I want to share the gospel with you one day. But it's getting late tonight, so come back. Come on, come back next week. I will introduce you to more people in the church to join a youth group, and then I will share the gospel with you. Come back next time. So He's very happy that he said, I will come back. I will come back next week because I really like the atmosphere, the program, the people, the things that you talk about, and the music. So we shook hands and he left. And a few days later, the church member came to me and said, Norman, Do you remember that young man I introduced to you that evening after the program? I said, yes. Is he coming? Well, after the program that night at church, he and some friends drove up to a mountain in West Vancouver. And as they come down, they skid, the car skid, and then he drove off a cliff, and he died in that car accident. So I was really shocked when I heard that. Such a young, mid-20 young man, who would have thought of death? So the gospel is urgent. Our mission is urgent. We need to have this sense of urgency. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Without this urgency, we will lose focus on our mission. That's why Jesus keep bringing the disciples back to this focus, using different means. Besides the urgency, we need to have this passion. In this same chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, we call that a very famous encounter between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. You all know that the Jews do not like to communicate, to talk to the Samaritan people, never mind a Samaritan woman. But Jesus took the effort to talk to her about the truth of life. And she got excited and she was thrilled. And it is because of this passion that she brought this good news to the other people. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the man, from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. This woman was excited. She's full of passion. She left her water pot. How do we know that she's full of passion? She left her water pot. Just imagine, today you go to a grocery store, a supermarket, to buy groceries. So after you pay, you bought all your groceries outside, you know, the parking lot, and then you saw this one of your favorite celebrities, movie stars, singer, and in the same parking lot, wow, you're so excited. Oh, I met this so-and-so. So you just drop all your groceries after you pay. And then you ran home and tell your husband, your children, and everybody, say, come. Come and go and look at, you know, this so-and-so celebrity. His car right next to Myers. Let's go there and meet him. Right? You get excited like this Samaritan woman. I don't have any movie stars that I admire or celebrity, but I do admire Dr. Billy Graham. So when I was at Regent College, when I was studying there, one time he came to speak to the students at Regent College. So that afternoon, I still remember I was sitting the first row. I always sit when I go to classes, I always sit in the first row. And then that afternoon, I purposely sit in the middle. The first row in the middle. And Dr. Billy Graham was standing about 2 meters in front of me. It's quite tall. And sharing with all the students. And I was so excited. You know, I met Dr. Billy Graham. So that day, when I came home, and I tell everybody, I call people, you know, I met Billy Graham. It was 2 meters in front of me. It appears to me that he's talking just to me because I was right in front of him, but actually he was talking to about 200 students. We have lost this excitement, this passion that this Samaritan woman has. That's why the disciple doesn't see that the field is ready. The field is white and is ready for harvest. So Jesus said to, once again, tune in their focus. Focus on all these people are ready to receive the salvation. So Jesus has to remind them and once focus for them again. So Jesus has to keep refocusing the disciples so that they can put their eyes on their mission. The Samaritan woman was excited about Jesus. That's why she went and shared. And that's why her testimony was so effective. Many Samaritan men, actually he says men, right? A woman witnessing to men. The city of many Samaritans believe in Jesus because of the testimony of this one woman. Because she has this passion. We have lost this passion. We have lost this passion for people's life. So, as this COVID-19 continue, Canada has lost 9,000 people. We have lost 9,000 people have died. And after a while, it just becomes a number, isn't it? We lost that passion for people's life. And some years ago, not that long ago, this is the famous Mont Saint-Michel Abbey. It's a small island in France. It's a tourist, a very popular tourist destination. Some years ago, 1994, August 28th, there was an accident there. And this island is very interesting. So during the low tide, you can actually walk to the castle from the mainland. But during the high tide, this whole castle will be surrounded with water, and you cannot walk there. There's a high and low tide. It's a very interesting place. And obviously, it becomes a tourist attraction. So on that Monday, a mother, 40-year-old mother, and a 6-year-old daughter were touring that little island. And then the 6-year-old daughter fell into the water. The water is actually quite deep. And the mother jumped in and tried to rescue. And then she was calling for help. And there was a group of tourists up, high up there. Nobody was helping. And the sad thing was nobody even called for help. And then they were taking pictures, filming. And someone even afterwards reported this. Someone heard one of the tourists actually say, "I got the whole thing on tape." And that's all they would care about, taping. I guess they probably think that someone else has already called the emergency. And then until one of the storekeeper from a coffee shop came out, and then he saw what happened. So he quickly called the two firemen. There are two firemen actually stationed on this little island. And then they quickly came and jumped in the water and rescued them. But they lost the precious 10 minutes. They rescued, they saved the 6-year-old child, but the mother died. And then the next day, the newspaper was really angry, saying that this is a group of people insensitive, cruel, disregard of others. Are we sometimes like that? Sometimes we lost the passion for people. We are happy with what the status we are in. We do not have this passion anymore. When we don't have passion for people's life or death, we cannot see this mission. Even though we have a mission statement printed on a bulletin, on a website, on a front door, but without this urgency, we just walk by our mission statement at the front door every time we come to church. Without this passion for people's life, this mission statement doesn't really mean much to us. We need to stay focused. Besides looking at the stars in the sky, the weather, we need to find out with our tent. Yes, we need to have all these programs in the church. They're all good programs, don't get me wrong. We need to come and sing, enjoy our fellowship, come and eat. But let's not lose our focus on the mission of our church, which is the mission of Jesus, to bring the good news to all the people on this earth. We need to have this urgency, kairos. We don't always have this opportunity. We need to have this passion, like the Samaritan woman, this excitement, this care for other people, to share the good news with others. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you will put in our heart this morning a heart of passion, love, care. There are people around us, especially in this COVID-19 pandemic time, that people need eternal life. People need the peace of Jesus. Give us this urgency to share the good news with people around us. Give us this urgency, this passion, so that we can focus on the mission that you have given to us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.